Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking techs, electric smokers, feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Well, thank you, fellas, and Mr. Whitetail is right here with me. We are going to have a little fun, talk about a recent squirrel hunt with dogs and who knows what all. Larry, thank you for being with us this week, like always, you know.
Oh, my gosh, it's such a pleasure. And I'll have to tell you, Luke, the DSC convention in Atlanta that we just finished last weekend was absolutely fantastic. A lot of folks there, a lot of smiling faces, and including some of the a lot of the exhibitors as well, too. So could not have been better. We raised a lot of money for conservation. And the good thing about it is the vast majority of dollars that come into DSC are spent very wisely on wildlife conservation efforts, as opposed to going to somebody's salaries and all that other kind of thing, as some other organizations have a tendency to do. But great, great event. And I want to thank everybody that was there and ran into a bunch of friends that I don't get to see very often. So could not have been more pleased about it. And now we're planning our DSC Foundation Gala, which will be July 23rd, 24th, and 25th there at the Gaylord Texan in Grapevine, Texas. So everybody kind of put that on their radar. And you know, need to mention, of course, DSC has been such a great sponsor of ours for a long time, and conservation, education, hunter advocacy. Hornady had an opportunity to spend time with Hornady, this Steve Hornady, this past month with up there in the Choctaw, and of course they produce some fine ammo that's accurate, deadly, dependable. The Stealth Vision guys, Joe Cunningham and Dr. John McCall, they were out at the DSC convention as well and had an opportunity to spend some time with them, and then ran into the old friends of mine that work with Taurus as well, too, that produce the Ragent Hunter handgun that I dearly love hunting with. So that was a great, great event. And, you know, just prior to that, leaving for Atlanta, all that kind of good stuff, we had an opportunity to do that squirrel hunt that we've been talking about a long time with Mr. Donnie Lynch coming down with his dogs.
We did, Larry.
And his dog, actually. He brought one dog.
He brought old Stubby, who is a...
Stubby.
Yeah, his official breed is a giant rat terrier. And giant is a stretch of the imagination. It's just a little old terrier. But, boy, is he, that's a breed of dog that Donnie has, as he's developed. I mean, that strain of them, they are awesome. They're prize-winning squirrel dogs. But, folks, we had been talking about, after the major part of deer season, of course, we were in Kaufman County on the Cotton Ranch. It's owned by Mr. Edgar Cotton, and his son David is right there in the middle of everything. And so we'd been planning a squirrel hunt with Donnie Lynch. Donnie is a raiser of champion squirrel dogs. He lives down in Uncertain, Texas, which is right there on the banks of Caddo Lake. So
yes,
we assembled Joe Dunn, good friend of mine, Larry, Jeff Rice came and filmed David and Edgar and you know, Larry and myself. We were all there, and the plan was to just kind of midday, just to drive around, Larry. And, you know, we had two of the side-by-sides that the Cottons have out there. And I was geared up, ice in the cooler. I was ready to bag up a bunch of squirrels. But the truth of the matter is, it was right after that ice storm. It was still cold. The wind was blowing. And there's a lot of squirrels on that, I don't know, 1,200 acres bottomland, some of it, Cedar Creek. Creek runs through it. It's squirrel haven, but if a squirrel is in a hollow in a den and don't want to come out, you you're not going to get him. And that's what happened, wasn't it, Larry? We didn't. Well, after the day was done, late in the evening, you guys saw some fox squirrels. But we didn't. We drove and drove and drove. And that dog, there is no better squirrel dogs than those that Donnie has. Old Stubby did never get excited. He never smelled one. That's hunting, though. You know, that's just the way it goes.
It is. The ground was still really cold and wet and nasty and all that kind of stuff there all throughout those bottom areas. And as a result of that, I think the squirrels, you know, we've had just an unbelievable acorn crop this past year. And I got a feeling those hollows that they were in were about three quarter filled with acorns. And what little time that they spent, they probably stuck their nose out of that hole and went, I ain't coming down today. And
yep.
So and we finally got a little bit of break in the last part of the afternoon after Donnie had left, when the sun broke out just very briefly for a little bit. And when it did, that's when we happened to see those squirrels. And we did see one where we had gone through, but it was lying that area. Little old lane was lined with olive trees. Mm-hmm. So we know where the squirrels were during that time. But, you know, all that said, not to take anything away from the experience and getting to spend time together there and visiting and talking and listening and learning. And, somebody like Mr. Donnie Lynch, who'd been involved in the outdoors all his life, his stories were just, people were just sitting there going, oh my goodness, kind of thing. And, oh my gosh. But, hopefully somewhere down the way here, I think we got another squirrel season coming up here sometime and maybe the month of May, I got to check, but maybe during that time frame, we can get Donnie back down there and see what we can find on squirrels at that hunt. But even if we don't, it'll be fun if we don't see a squirrel here and bark treating.
That's true. Yeah, there is a squirrel season in East Texas in May. There's a special May season, but in Kaufman County, where we're hunting, the season never closes. You can hunt them year round.
Oh, really?
That's right. Yeah. So, and I also live in Kaufman County. So, yeah, but the only real, the squirrel seasons are all limited to the really East Texas counties. Other than that, you can hunt them year round the rest of the state. Yeah.
Well, I knew in a lot of the counties, where I live and where my little place is and all that kind of thing. And I think part of that is that's outside the breeding season. The little females, they've already raised their little ones. And so that to me is a great time to get out and really hunt those rascals.
You're right, Larry. And like you say, I would do it again 10 times just for the camaraderie and the fun that we had. Winter day, we'd all had suffering from a little bit of cabin fever because that was just after all that ice and snow,
Yes,
but,
sir.
We talked about doing that for a long time and just a group of good friends. And to me, that's a lot of what the outdoors is all about. It's a lot of the reason that I guess it's kind of a icing on the cake for those of us that like to hunt and fish, Larry. It's just, I guess golfers maybe have the same. I've never been a golfer, but I've got a lot of friends that are serious golfers, and they get together and get out there and wander around on those greens all day and knock that ball around. Maybe they have the same amount of fun. I don't know. I don't know how they could, but.
I don't know how they could either. The only time I've been on golf courses is twice in my life, and once it was to follow a set of coon hounds across it with my dad, and the other time was to hunt deer on it because it's the only place where there wasn't 6 feet of snow up in Canada. So I can't say much about golfing.
All my friends at golf, I'm not knocking it. I want you to keep having fun, and we'll keep chasing fishing game. Larry, one thing I want to shift gears on is I love outdoor cooking, and you know how much I love to eat out anything. It's good.
Me too.
So, folks, Larry, in my opinion, is the grill meister, and I've learned this from him. I haven't perfected this yet because I hadn't done it enough, but he takes chicken thighs, seasons them with Cavenders, and puts them over not a blazing fire, but red hot coals, a real hot fire. And he just turns them periodically, and goes around and turns them and cooks them to where they're done, but they're not overdone. Some of the best chicken that the best I've ever eaten, grill like that. So that's one thing. Now, I pulled out the day after, the evening after I left down at the camp in Kaufman County on a squirrel hunt. Some of the guys, Larry and a group of them, were still there. Well, what are we going to eat? They're all thinking, let's go to Whataburger, says David Cotton. And Larry says, no, well, I've got some chicken thighs. And he calls back to camp. I think I've got all this right, Larry. You call our friend Rick Lambert and say, Rick, take out the chicken thighs and get them defrosting. I've got a plan. Now, you take it from there. I have heard nothing but rave reviews on this fried chicken. Chicken thighs is what I'm trying to say. Chicken thighs, not breast. Chicken thighs. But rave reviews on those. Tell us how you cooked them, man. I got to try this.
Well, one of the things was it was really cold outside, and we had not started a fire like we normally do. And so I decided rather than try to, you know, start a fire and do all the things like we normally do with it, just grilling them, I told David earlier, I said, if we're going to eat, I've got probably 40 chicken thighs in the freezer there. So I called Rick, who was back at the cabin still, and I'd asked him to pull out about 16 or 18 of those for the four of us that were there. So it was one of those things. Well, there were five of us there, I guess, but got back in and they were thawed out, and I had already deboned them. And usually what I do is when I buy them, I'll debone them and I'll put, you know, like four or five in a container and, mm-hmm. and freeze them. And so they were thawed out and we got back, and David and has got a deep fish fryer. That's like a deep thing enough to, you know, to fry fish kind of thing. And we had had french fries and stuff before. And I told him, I said, just take that grease. And I said, I'll cut up a couple of potatoes real quick and we'll fry those. And that'll kind of purify that grease. And I said, then we'll fry these thighs, chicken thighs. And I got looking around. Well, there was no flour. There was no cornmeal. There wasn't anything there that I could find that I could use to just do a dusting or a coating on these chicken thighs. So got to looking around what did I call those? Jeff Rice had left some crackers there.
Triscuits.
Yeah.
Seasoned crackers.
I found some Triscuit crackers that Jeff had left, found a small package of regular saltine pack of crackers. And then there was an open bag of Dorito corn chips, if you will. Not talking about Fritos, but the kind that you get when you go to a Mexican food restaurant. So I grabbed those three and I individually just crushed them, just made them almost into a flour as best as I could with a few little, you know, little bit bigger pieces. And then mixed those three together and started applying it to the chicken. And of course I leave the skin on because to me, I love fried chicken skin to begin with. But secondly, it keeps that meat a whole lot moister. So, man, I did those up and we dropped them in the hot grease and had it probably about a little over 200, maybe 210, somewhere along in there as far as temperature, and just dropped them in there in that basket that we could take them out with and fried them to a crisp golden color. And oh my God, did they turn out well. I almost kicked myself later for not having done up more, because the five people in that camp, they each ate about three or four thighs a piece. and I was told that everybody liked them. Rick Lambert left the next morning and he said, Larry, my God, he said, we've had some great meals here at the Cotton Ranch. He said, but I got to tell you, that chicken we had last night was about as good as I've ever eaten fried chicken anywhere. Not because I did it, because all I did is just, I used what I could find.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And that was just the only thing I could find that was there. And I'll tell you this much, I'll never put another chicken thigh or piece of chicken in a batter or anything else. But I'll make darn sure I got those Triscuits and saltine crackers and Dorito chips, and I'll make my own mixture from there on.
You bet. Well, there's our tip, cooking tip for the week, Larry. I tell you what, I wish we had about 4 hours because we're just getting cranked up. But it's time for a break. So thank you a lot for being with us, and you're going to be right back here next week. We're going to have some more fun talking, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I can't really even wait. let's get started as soon as we can.
Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34 millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on when that scope is leveled, because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.